and welcome to Old Friends You've Just Met, a podcast about all things Muppets. This week, we had teased that we were going to do the Muppets, period, but we're not. Haha, joke's on you.
No. We talked about it, and we were like, we need to come at this differently, because this is much different than we were expecting.
So, it's still going to happen, just not today.
Before we get started, my pal and roomie, Emily, bought me a shirt for my birthday that has Kermit with a wizard hat holding a gun. And he says, "Behold, the most powerful spell of all. Are you ready to meet your god?"
Oh, well.
It's chaos on a t-shirt, which I think aptly prepares us for this episode.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I think you kind of, like, get the tone of chaos when Sam the Eagle is the thing that starts your episode.
Right?
And Sam the Eagle with full eyebrows. Full. Mm-hmm.
Sam Waterston.
Or I was going to say Oscar Isaac eyebrows because of, I don't know if you saw the, like, Pedro Pascal telling Oscar Isaac he's like Sam the Eagle, and then the TikTok where then it shoots to Sam the Eagle.
You sent that to me. I see the resemblance with Oscar Isaac. I do, but I will never, ever unsee Sam Waterston when I see Sam the Eagle. It's just too deep in my brain.
Too burrowed into the back.
It really is. Oh, but I guess we should say this is the episode from season two with Lou Rawls. Woo! Which was, I think we've really stumbled on a gem of an episode.
It is incredible. It's season two, episode 15, for those of you who are looking. But it is really delightful from moment one. And there's no moment in this that makes you even think, oh, that's fine. Like, every Statler and Waldorf joke is so funny. Mm-hmm. Every, like, bit that's built up, it pays off.
All of the pun work.
Also, it's so weird.
It's so weird! And I don't have a ton of exposure to this show, and so my recent memories are the ones that I've watched for this podcast, which is, like, the Paul Williams one, which was a very, very early episode. I kind of, at some point in my life, want to do a full, like, episode one and then go and just see, like, if it's just a gradual, like, realization of the full chaos of The Muppet Show. Like, that's the best way to put it. Because we jumped ahead a year.
Yes. And, like, we automatically jumped ahead into things like the Janice voice that we know and love is fully present in this episode. The Piggy that we know and love is fully present in this episode.
I would even say Gonzo.
Yes, yes. It'll be interesting to see, like, where that transition happened. Should we go back?
Yes.
You know, we have the Sam and Lou thing, and then we get straight into Statler and Waldorf. Which, like, Statler and Waldorf in this episode really might be contenders for most valuable Muppets.
Okay.
Their jokes are so good. And maybe we're coming off, like, the Bernie memes where Statler and Waldorf were, like, highly present in Bernie memes. And I just am like, I'm feeling my Statler and Waldorf. But I do think that they just worked so well in this episode.
So low that no one can hear. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's work our way through. So we had the Sam opening, which she says, "I've been following your career. I'm disappointed to watch it come to an end tonight." Top tier joke.
In fact, like, I actually wrote that down as my favorite joke in the show, and I was like, they just came out the gate.
And I loved that Lou Rawls had a history with the Henson folks. He had been on an episode of season one of Sesame Street where he sang the alphabet with some kids. And so, like, I don't know if it was because he had had that experience or if it's just him naturally. He fits in so well. He, like, just slotted right in there.
Well, you could also tell the people who get the fun of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not worried about what this looks like. They just, like, buy into the reality that these Muppets are your scene
your
partners.
Co-stars. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and there's no, like, overthinking of it. It's just fully submitting to that idea.
Like, this is my gig today. This is what I'm doing today. It was It was excellent. And I wrote down, like, he shares so much, like, musical history with Sam Cooke. And I grew up in a household where, like, my parents loved Sam Cooke. And so we listened to it all the time. But I never really listened to Lou Rawls' music. And as I was listening to him sing, and then I just kind of listened to some stuff on its own, I was like, oh my God. Like, I've really been missing out, because he is superb. He is amazing performer and singer, and just so effortless.
Yes. And like 4-octave range. What a creamy, dreamy voice.
Oh my God.
And like clearly has fun when he sings, which is like, mwah, chef's kiss.
I loved Gonzo's gag of green smoke coming out of his horn. I just thought that was cute. So let's talk about Fozzie.
Let's talk about Fozzie.
If you haven't watched the episode yet.
The Fozzie on roller skates.
He is on roller skates and he is out of control. He cannot pilot himself. And he keeps going in and out of frame, just like in the background, which it will never not make me laugh to watch something go in and out of frame like that. It is always funny to me. My brother and I used to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater on the PlayStation, and one of our favorite things to do if we did two-player was to start doing spins and find the other person and then go behind them and watch their camera so you'd see yourself spinning in the background while they're skating. like weird stuff like that. So when he just kept doing it, I could not control my laughter.
It's also, you know, with like a little bit of knowledge of the magic behind the curtain, like just thinking of them on the like rolling boards, just rolling, like it's like rolling on rolling. It's like the inception of rolling.
I picture like that I'm on roller skates holding up their arms to do the puppet thing and someone coming up behind them and just pushing them and then going, ah, as they go past. Like, because they had the Fozzie on skates and Chef, the Swedish Chef on skates.
Yep.
The first number, Groovy People.
I mean, can we talk about those Muppet backup singers? Like, the Muppet backup singers and their hair, and the way the hair, like, undulated to the beat. It's perfect, and I love it, and I am transfixed.
I wrote down, I, too, like to be around the Groovy People.
I mean,
who doesn't? Also, can we bring back the skinny Mike?
Yes.
Where have they gone? And also, he keeps calling himself a country boy, and he's from Chicago, and I'm not contesting his assertion that he is a country boy. Perhaps he believes, like, also, maybe I shouldn't even bring it up, because, like, maybe he's covering the song. Like, maybe this isn't his song. I didn't look that up. But also, like, I just thought that was funny, because it reminded me of John Denver, who's like, I'm a country boy, and it's like, you're from New Mexico.
I also think you have to remember, people used to perceive Chicago as a bumpkin city.
Which is so strange to me. It's so odd.
Then we get to the Statler and Waldorf solo, I can't hear you joke, which, like, yep.
I had a teacher, and I also have an uncle who loves to do the joke, like, if you're singing something, they go, hey, who sings that song? And you go, oh, it's the Beatles. And go, yeah, why don't you let them do it? Like, it's the same energy. Snarky uncle.
Snarky uncle energy.
The newsman segment.
Mallarditis.
I wondered if they wrote this sketch just because they had a duck puppet lying around they wanted to use.
I also was like, I asked myself, I was like, do you think this is a joke that could be made in modern times? Given bird flu. And I was like, that's like a funny thing to think about, because it's like totally not what that joke is about, right? Like, but like little did they know an avian flu was coming.
In my opinion, if they were to write this joke in a time of avian flu, this might be, in my personal opinion, this might be the only acceptable bird flu joke.
I would agree.
Because it's not about people getting actually sick. It's like saying it's a bird flu and you turn into a bird. It's ridiculous.
Shout out to all the pandemics we avoided before.
To all the pandemics I've avoided before.
It's the lesser known Netflix series.
Oh my god. The veterinarian hospital, pure chaos.
Pure chaos.
What was happening?
That, Like, I was like, okay, so the Sam the Eagle is my favorite joke. This is my favorite bit. Like, the, like, I was like, this is so bizarre. Like, but also, like, I'm like, I would watch that at a sketch show. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is, like, what, like, sketch comedy is. But also, like, seeing it with Muppets is bizarre.
And they, like, repeated the bit word for word except for the city names, which, you know, got to reach a wider audience. But I was like, and it's still somehow funny. Like, they word for word just repeated the sketch because they, like, tricked the announcer into saying the intro again. And so, like, all right, let's do it again.
That's him all over. Part of me was like, oh, are we going to get a third one? Like, a third turnaround? Like, are we going to follow the rule of threes? Because I would have been fully there for a rule of threes with that.
Totally. Like, it fit fine with the two. But, I, you know what? I think it was funny that they ended it hinting at doing it a third time. Like, I think the last line of the sketch was, like, are we going for thirds? And I think, like, if they weren't going to do it, that was the right way to end it.
Also, like, the way Janice said that had a weird sexual undertone that I was like, I don't know if I like that.
Let's end the sketch here, please. Oh, I wrote in all caps, OMG, malpractice puns. That's funny.
It, yes. Practice.
This next sketch with Lou and...
Outwalking the drummer.
I think this was my favorite sketch because I love whenever we get reminded that Animal is treated like both a band member and a pet. And he's on board for it. Like, it's not something he is against. Like, he's willing to be taken for a walk.
I also love that Animal is always out of breath, no matter what is happening.
I wrote down, love Animal's breathing all the time.
Like, it's always like... and
he's
the
a mouth
jaw
breather.
Movement with it, yes.
Lou Rawls! He's a fan. And this is where I wrote down, he just fits in so well with the Muppets. Like, this scene especially.
I would expect to see Lou Rawls on tour with Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
Given
and he
this
was
episode.
Like, can Animal come with me? And I was like, can he?
Can he? I would watch that. I'd buy that ticket.
And then he takes Animal for a walk and Animal chases cars and Lou gets dragged off. The physical comedy, too. Like, I feel like anytime a non-actor engages in physical comedy, and by non-actor, I mean, like, he's mostly a singer and a performer, that right, but he's not, like, a actor. Whenever I see, a non-actor type person engage in physical comedy, it warms me all the way through, because it's hard, even as, like, even a person with acting experience, like, to kind of release the self-consciousness of physical comedy and, like, physical engagement, like, for somebody who doesn't have a ton of practice in it to do it, I think is, like, so impressive.
I concur. And then we move to our favorite, her favorite committer of genocide.
I wrote down, I think the chef might be an unforgivable character because he is continually committing violence.
I mean, I also think it would be, like, yes and, but also, like, the possibility of violence to your favorite.
I wrote down, no, not Robin, no. Chef is a monster.
The first thing I wrote was, like, not ready to go on, okay. I was like, oh, here we come to the genocidal maniac, bork, bork, bork. And then I'm going to show you this, but there is a big, not Robin.
And then when he goes, help, I was like, oh my god.
And I was like, but I also like, okay, I do think we might have to buy into a reality where the chef does not see Muppet food different from food.
He doesn't see the Muppet gene as a very different thing.
I think we can come to the recognition that he's not a perpetual serial killer as much as, like, does not see a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't. When Robin goes, don't, when Kermit comes in and goes, cut, 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 and Robin goes, don't say cut, say stop! Oh, I was just so excited to see Robin. Like, this is just turning into an episode of, like, picking all my favorite things and putting them all together.
Yes.
We're on to the ballroom scene.
Cyclops.
Did you love the Cyclops joke?
I mean, you know I did. You know I was fully on board for a Cyclops joke. Also the Jaws joke. I was like, this is so funny.
I wrote down, I think my one Muppet limitation is Muppet teeth. Like that might be it. Like I can deal with animals, little like where he looks like he's teething almost. He's got these like itty bitties in his bottom jaw. But then like there's the scene in Muppets Most Wanted where Constantine has those like metal teeth in the 2011 movie when Walter's brushing his teeth and he's got a full set of teeth in there. Like all of it just really creeps me out.
Do you have a thing with teeth in general?
Not terribly. Like, it's something...
very specifically Muppet teeth that you
And it might
can't
just
do.
Be that, like, I'm so used to Muppets not having teeth that it feels sure. out of place. You know, like, I feel like it's not a ridiculous thing to hate teeth where there weren't teeth before.
This is the conversation we're having. I feel like it's not a terrible thing to hate teeth where there weren't teeth before.
Like, Dr. Teeth has never bothered me. Even Janice has, like, a little thing and animal teeth. Like, that doesn't bother me. Like, the Muppets that already have teeth. But I think it's when a Muppet has teeth and you weren't expecting them to have teeth that it's very upsetting for me, personally.
Okay.
Who stole Gonzo's harmonica?
The harmonica joke, perfect. The chickens, perfect.
Perfect. I feel like the main difference between this Gonzo and modern Gonzo is that this Gonzo is so shrimpy looking, and it might just be that he's got a huge suit on, but he looks like a tiny little dude.
I mean, Gonzo's not a huge Muppet, but I do understand what you're saying. Like, that he gets a more tailored fit later on.
And that might just be it, that, like, seeing him next to Fozzie and Kermit, he seems, quote, normal-sized. You know, like, he's average Muppet size, but there's something about him in the early Muppet show where he just seems like he must be half of the size.
I feel like he gets a little bit of a, like, belly later on,
yeah.
too.
A lot of Muppets have, like, a rounded...
like a Grover body.
Yeah. That seems like a standard Muppet construction. We watched this online because I couldn't get my DVD to work, and this is not yet on Disney Plus. In looking this up on the Muppet Wiki, I think there were some sketches missing that weren't in the video. So I'm wondering if you are a fan of the Muppet Show and we're skipping over stuff that you're expecting to hear, it's because of the version we watched.
Yes. Thanks, Daily Motion.
Thank you. And then we move to the ukulele lady, Piggy's in the Moon.
Miss Piggy is the Moon. I also was like, is this appropriation of Hawaiian culture? Yes, but also am I sort of loving it? Yes.
It fit very much into, there's like this period in the mid-century, like I would say 50s to 70s, and I know this was a little bit later than that, where there was so much insertion of Hawaiian and Polynesian and Pacific Islander culture into, like, you get it in the music, in the fashion, in the design. It, like, it had a kind of retro, even for their time, kind of feel to me. Like, yeah. They were calling back to, like, Bing Crosby singing Melikaliki Maka. Scooter as a backup singer in that scene. Excellent. Yes. And also, Miss Piggy... her waist in that, it, like, I thought she was wearing...
she was cinched to the gods.
Yes, that... I said... that is lit, like, I don't know a proper way to use the word snatched. Like, that's one that's out of my wheelhouse. But my brain went, her waist is snatched.
Her waist was most certainly snatched.
And then I just wrote Frank Oz. Because, again, I would just pay to see him on set doing the Piggy.
It's also like the thing voice. About Piggy that is always undeniable is that it's sexy, and to watch Frank Oz bring an element of sexy to Miss Piggy, I would just take all my money.
And maybe it's not fair of me, but hearing his voice and then seeing what he looks like, entirely different things from my own expectation. Like, my expectation of what he looked like and then seeing him, I was like, oh, interesting. Oh, If you're a fan of the Blues Brothers, you know what Frank Oz looks like. Just putting that out there. And just in general, like, Muppet performers, like, to operate Chef, there's one with the arm up doing the mouth, and then there's someone in front doing the hands. And how you have to be, like, back to front to do that character. And just, like, in general, you have to be so comfortable with the people you're working with to be so close to them all the time.
I just want to know why they didn't have a deodorant sponsor. That just seems like...
Honestly, Secrets could have made money.
The Bye Bye Blackbird. It's so good. It is so good.
So good. And Kermit, like, trying to be, like, cool, like Lou Rawls. And he's just like, I still seem kind of square doing it. I'm like, yes, you do, Kermit. But there was this great effect when they turn and look and Animal just pops into view behind them when the band joins them. I was like, oh, wow, this is excellent special effects work.
Also, Animal scatting is...
That's how I would scat. That's what I wrote.
All of the scats are so enjoyable because they're done with such earnestness. Do you know what I mean? Even Animals, but it's like, it was just like...
They're not making fun of scat.
Exactly, but they are making fun of Animal, and I also love that. Like, oh, yeah. There's like this like... Weird fine line between those two things where I was like, it's joyful and playful and like truly like that is one of the hallmarks of jazz is like playfulness about it. And like,
yeah,
it just made me really, really happy. It also made me think like the one of the people I would most like to see in a modern day like Muppet show would be Jacob Collier, who is like a modern day Muppet. And like,
that would be really interesting.
And I was like, there was something about that scene where my brain like went jazz. And then I went, oh my gosh, I just would love to see Jacob playing with these Muppets.
And again, this is a moment I was like, I don't think the Electric Mayhem is missing anything. But if they were, it's Lou Rawls. Like,
truly.
There are no gaps in that band in terms of like needing anything sonically or needing anything in the attitude or needing anything in the like the distribution of musical instruments or parts or whatever. But with him in the band, I was like, this is a complete band. Like, this is nothing extra, nothing missing. This is just a complete excellent group. Big Bird. When he called out Big Bird, that was very exciting for me.
I just love when Fozzie takes his hat off.
Yeah.
Because Fozzie's head looks like a peanut M&M to me. And it just makes
unshell
me...
it.
Yes! It just makes me so happy!
But Jesse, you missed another of my, I think maybe my favorite Statler and Waldorf joke when he said, can you scat? What? Can you scat? What? Scat! Scat! What, is there a cat in here?
A pussy cat? A pussy cat?
I said, of course... Chef skates and shows off.
Genocidal maniac, gifted skater.
He's just a straight up murderer. He's a murderer.
On the skating floor.
He's a maniac. What's next? Oh, Muppet Labs.
Muppet Labs. Also,
poor Beaker.
Beaker's neck. What a...
I just wrote in all caps, Beaker in his collar! Because it's one of my favorite visual gags that the Muppets do, is when they shwink and bring him right back in. Fozzie gets to perform his joke.
Yep.
Finally.
And back to Statler and Waldorf. A moving target is harder to hit. Love that. I also... There is something about Fozzie's ears moving that is just... so adorable to me.
Yeah.
While
we're on the topic of Fozzie jokes, to call back to the Paul Williams one, where we talked about the Polish joke maybe being potentially offensive, like, we weren't sure. I somehow missed this on the Muppet Wiki, but I read that that's literally, the name that they used is Frank Oz's father's name. Like, they were literally, like, making that joke, and so I was like, oh, like, then that's different. Like, if Frank is like, we're gonna do this,
but
like,
it's making,
about my family,
right? Exactly. It's like it's when you make fun of yourself. It can be different, right? Like,
yes. So I just wanted to put that out there to kind of, if anybody was listening and was like, actually.
Is this tangential or does this relate to what we were? Okay.
This is to call, I think, to the fact, like, it reminded me because this is Fozzie's scene, like Fozzie's joke for the audience.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's what it was previously. I just wrote fish joke and the bar joke both made me laugh so hard. The bar, I don't know, because it doesn't make sense. Like, when did the cow sell the bar? But it's just so ridiculous. I loved it so much. I liked it when Statler and Waldorf dipped their heads over the edge of the balcony and you saw the bald tops of their heads.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know why. It just really tickled me. Okay. So, I'm pretty sure that when they record the episodes of The Muppet Show, they're speaking live while they're puppeting. Because otherwise, like, that's where you get the ad-lib, that's where you get, like, bloopers and stuff. And so I'm sure that they sing live because that's the only way to really coordinate mouth to hand and make it really work.
Sure.
But I wondered if Lou Rawls was singing live or if he was potentially lip syncing, because I know that they do that as a way of like mitigating takes, like a number of takes. And if he is lip syncing, he's doing an impeccable job.
I will say sometimes what they end up doing is they'll have the track playing and you're technically lip syncing, but you're singing along with yourself.
Yeah, but like even then I feel like sometimes there's little where, like, maybe you cut off a little bit faster than you did before, or, like, form something a little different.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I actually, it's, the moment you posed this, I, like, thought to myself, this is the beauty of the Muppets. I'm so enthralled by what's happening with Muppets that I'm not even watching the singer most of the time. Or, like, this is the spoke behind the mirror. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and he very well could have been singing live. But yeah. I'm saying, if he was doing the lip-syncing thing, he was doing an impeccable job at it. And that's something that is hard to do. And also, like, I always pick up on that.
I mean, if he were a chicken, he'd be impeccable.
Impeccable! Is that something that you pick up on, too? Like, when you watch people lip-sync and you're like, that's not how you sing. Like,
oh, I yes. Can, like, all the time. And, like, you know, but, like, here's the thing. Modern day, like, pop stars, it's not necessarily about singing. It's about performing. And, like, if you were to ask a lot of people to dance as much as they're dancing and try and sing, it just wouldn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, obviously. No, what bugs me is, like, so I am a fan of Britney Spears. This is not a criticism. But, like, when you watch her music videos, and she's obviously lip syncing because that's how music videos work. Like, you can tell because, like, she puts, like, her tongue over her teeth to do L's or, like, to do T's and stuff. And I'm like, I know that's not how you make that word when you sing.
Right.
And it doesn't look like that's how you make that word when you sing. And it's
but
so nitpicky.
I also sometimes see people make words in ways that I'm, like, while they're actually singing, where I'm like, I don't even know where to start to say that
how
is...
do you do that?
Like, I'm actually impressed with what you just did, but not because you should be doing it.
Because that seems impossible, in my mm-hmm. opinion.
Remember, dear listeners, that our language only has one tongue thrust, and it is the TH sound. Yep, that is your vocal knowledge for the day, or your linguistic knowledge for the day.
Miss Piggy gets two songs serenaded to her. I wrote down, she needs to save some men for the rest of us.
Also, like, we didn't get to see the full Piggy costume, but it almost looked like cow print. And there was, like, a part of me that was like, oh my gosh, I wish it's cow print. Because, like, there's something about putting, like, a sexy pig into a cow print where I'm like, are we just upending all of these, like, fat things that we say? Like, you're a pig, you're a cow, you're a whatever.
Oh, and I thought you were, like, going the realm of dressing an animal in another animal's skin.
I mean, but yes, sure. But there was also, like, a part of me that was like, are we just, like, upending these, like, historic words we use to make fun of fat folks? Because I would also be fully on board for that.
I would buy that as a modern interpretation. I don't think these writers would have thought that hard about it. You know what I mean?
You're right.
That's one of those things that watching it, like, is a, like, you can point to it as a great example, of something, but I find it hard to believe that Jim Henson thought that hard about fashion, not in a bad way, but just like, I think it was just like, does she look good and funny in this? Yeah.
All right, there she goes. And like I said, you can't really tell, but part of me was just like,
potentially.
I hope.
I find it interesting, and it's not just Lou, but it happens a lot. He calls her my sweet little pork chop, my little ham hock, and I'm like, that's what you eat. That's the thing. That's what you eat. If she was a cow, would you call her my little hamburger? Like, that's just weird to me.
My sweet little filet mignon.
If it was Camilla, my little nugget.
My little tender.
My little drumstick. Oh, no. I let everybody on skates at the end. Even Lou Rawls. When yes. He was like, ah!
Yes. Lou Rawls in the skating bit was what a delight.
And that fit all of my comedy requirements of people going in and out of frame.
Yes. Okay, so let's wrap this episode up. We loved it. This episode was a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. What a definitely.
Gem. We give it 10 out of 10 rolling in and out of frames.
Yes, please. That's how I'm going to measure. There's the star system. And there's the critic. It stinks! But old friends who just met, how many times would you roll in and out of frame for this episode?
Yep, 10 out of 10. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for this episode of Old Friends Who've Just Met.
We're glad you're with us. To that regular listener we have in France, thank you for listening.
Bonjour!
Bonjour! I love looking at the stats and seeing people pop up all over the place. We finally have some listeners in Oceania, so like the New Zealand, Australia kind of area of the world. It's very exciting.
We would love a Muppet trip to Mordor.
Oh!
Anyways, thank you for being here.
Follow us on Instagram at Old Friends Who've Just Met Pod. Send us an email at oldfriendswhovejustmetpod@gmail.com.
And we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.